It's 1 o'clock.
Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry, I was a bit tardy today coming
You're
in.
A bit tardy.
Tardy. Yeah. No, today I'm Zambian. Can't you
I
tell?
I can see. Tiger print.
Have you seen the... It's not tiger, is it?
Yeah, well, what is it then?
Don't know. Is that tiger?
Well, what do you think
it is? I saw it zebra. How embarrassing.
It could be zebra.
Same thing, really. Could
be, yeah, same thing.
One
four,
has paws.
Four legs, stripes. Yeah.
Bit kicky at the back.
Yeah.
And look.
You got earrings on with zebras.
These are, I think these were maybe from Zambia or maybe from Botswana. I can't quite remember.
Okay.
But they were made locally.
All
lovely.
Right.
Yeah. So we have a fabulous show, don't we?
We do.
We're going all global.
We are.
And also a bit of magic.
We have.
Shall we introduce them?
Well, go on then.
So you don't like doing that at the beginning of the
no,
show.
No, I don't, but you always mess it up and do it anyway.
I know what you want me to do, which is ask who our sponsor might be. So I'll just toe the line.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, go on. Who is
it? Go on. No, ask me again.
No,
go on, ask me again.
Paul Andrews, who might our sponsor be?
Our sponsor this week?
Yeah, is it Loch?
It's Loch Associates.
Loch!
Yeah. And,
please say it in Scottish.
No. The Business Bunk Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm, Loch Associates. They'll be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. If you'd like to find out more about them, go to lochassociates.co.uk. And that's Loch, spelt in the Scottish way, L-O-C-H.
Loch?
Mm.
Very beautifully. So, well, we have guests who come in bearing gifts quite a lot, don't we?
We do.
And we've got a little bit of magic, haven't we, in the
we
show?
We have.
Which I'm quite interested. I haven't opened my pack yet, but Laurie Day.
Yep.
I do like the name Laurie as well.
Yeah, indeed.
Is that your real name?
It is my
christened,
real name.
Christened... You don't say christened anymore, do you?
No.
Not allowed, are you?
No, you've got to be careful with that.
Named at birth, Laurie.
Lawrence.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Because there is a song, Oh Laurie. Oh Laurie. It's by the somebody brothers, Giuseppe brothers, I think. We'll have to Google it. Do you know that one?
I'm far too young for that.
Oh, really? Well, everyone's younger than us.
Yeah.
Let's face it. In fact, I guess get younger and younger. But lovely. So we're going to be having a little bit of magic, I think.
Yeah.
A few rabbits.
We're going to talk to Laurie in the second half of the show. We're going to talk to Helen in the first half of the show.
Yeah. She's going to tell us all about Zambia and what they're doing in Zambia for the young people.
Right.
Educating.
Mm.
And that's Our Moon. You can follow them if you want to. They are educating extraordinary Zambian youth, creating tomorrow's leaders, and they're based in the Royal Tunbridge Wells.
Well, there you go.
They're very Kentish.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Well-known part of Zambia, that.
Yeah. I have to moan about the new Twitter button that they've done.
Isn't it horrible?
It's driving me nuts.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't
it? Because I'm following Our Moon One.
Mm.
But to me... As an old Twitter person, it looks like I'm not following them.
Right. There's only two reasons for this.
To annoy me, number one.
No, either Twitter employed the worst UX designer in the world, or it's deliberate.
Well, I've actually unfollowed many people thinking I'm following them mistake.
That's why they've done it, I think, to make you unfollow people.
Because
you know Twitter go through your followers every now and again and cull them. And then they deny that they've done it.
It's extraordinary. And I've really, have to be really careful because to me, because it's whited out, it looks like I'm not following. And then I go and press it and think I'm following them. But it's the other way around.
Yeah.
So Twitter, please listen to us. All we really want, what we really, really want is an edit button. So yeah, we've ever wanted.
You can't have an edit.
We'll never get that.
No, you won't get that. And there's a reason why you won't get that.
Why?
Well, because if you had an edit button and you tweeted something and a million people retweeted it, you could then go and change what was in it.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And then, you know, so that would be dangerous. So you will never get an edit button.
Okay. So what I do...
delete it and do it again.
No, I copy and paste it first, then I delete it, then I put my little finger on it and write it again, but make sure I take out the typo.
Oh,
that's clever, isn't
that
it?
Cute.
I do love a little bit of copy and paste.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, I did that this morning on my Twitter while I was having my courgette smoothie, Paul Andrews.
Oh God,
It was ever so nice. No, but it's not just it's not just courgette.
Doesn't even sound nice.
It is really nice. It's dreamy.
Yeah,
it's dreamy and creamy.
Right.
Courgettes, ginger. You like a bit of ginger.
Yeah.
Banana. What else? Pears. Nice ripe organic pears. Cashew nuts. A little bit of coconut. And it was very green and frothy.
It sounds like feeding time at a zoo, doesn't it?
It was really nice. And even the new husband wolfed it down. I'm on a mission to... get this AstraZeneca out of my head, you see. That's my mission.
Yeah.
You know that they have actually called me after 4 months. AstraZeneca,
they?
Yeah. I felt so grim last week on the way home. I called my new husband as I sped down the motorway, hands-free, and said, can you get me the number?
That's not our husband, hands-free.
Be good name.
He's not German.
Or Dutch.
Yeah.
Or even Christian.
Yeah.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Or even Danish. Or whatever. So he gave me
the
number.
You're waffling.
I then stopped. I'm waffling because it's in my brain. I'm telling
right.
you.
Oh, God.
So where was I? Yeah. So I called them. I parked and lay by and said, look, you have sent me 5 duplicate emails from some robot saying you're going to contact my GP.
Mm.
It's been 6 months. I have answered every email. Mm. And you've just turned me up, haven't you?
No.
Oh, sounds lovely now, in my headphones. So anyway, she said she was horrified by what I've been doing and everybody else that had my batch.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, it was a hot batch. And I've been working with a journalist, as you know, Sally Beck, who has 25 years experience on vaccine damage.
Right.
And she said, I'm not medical, but we will call you back on Friday. They didn't. And then yesterday, when I was really busy, she called me. And of course, I'm not prepared or anything. She called me from Spain,
right. This
lady. And I started to rant on about how I was feeling and how neglected I felt.
Mm.
And she said, I'm not medical, but she said, I'm really sorry to hear this. So she has written finally to my doctor. She said, we couldn't do it for 4 months because we didn't have their address. I pointed out that I'd given them the address 85 times in their report. So she said, oh, yes, we do have their address. I said, please don't write to them. Here's their email. It's much better to do it that way. And I said, can you please copy me in on the email? And she said, oh, we can't do that because it's a program that sends the email. But she's managed to somehow copy me in because I insisted. And then I said, OK, can I now make a formal complaint about this batch number PV46671, there are many of us who have been severely affected, some in hospital, some with clots on their lungs, their liver, head, as we know, eyesight affected. And she said, you have to do it on the website. So I've got to now go back. I said, can I not just have an email and send you the report that I've compiled? No, you have to do it through the website. So poor old me has got to do all the work again.
Well, that's the...
AstraZeneca report.
Yeah, that's the way they handle it, isn't it?
Yeah.
They hope to kick it into the long grass. Yeah. Hope you die before you get to the end of it.
I fancy moving to New Zealand. They've got... they've had one case and they've gone into lockdown.
Don't even go there. Anyway... we want to hear from the people out there.
We would.
We're fed up with Jules's medical problems.
Yeah, don't listen to my rant.
Yeah, yeah. It gets worse when she starts on about...
chocolates greatly received.
When she starts on about her gluten intolerance and her thyroid problem. Blimey.
The thyroid that wasn't treated properly for 25 years.
Oh, okay, here we go.
By the NHS. Okay.
Right. When you get really, really old.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're really, really old.
As old as you?
Yeah, no, even older than that. Yeah, as old as your mum.
Yeah.
And they get you in hospital. They're going to regret that big time, aren't they? Because they're going to go, so, Jules, what's the problem? And you go, right, well, when I was 12.
I tell you what, when I was in Zimbabwe, I fell very badly and hurt my back in the shower. And I crawled out to the new husband because I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd broken my back. I didn't know what I did, but I slipped really badly. And the medical attention I had was first class, second to none.
Yeah.
They came, jabbed me straight away with a painkiller, hospital bed, fabulous. Nice meals. My husband got a meal as well. Knocked spots off the NHS, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but there you go.
I'm smiling. I could make up a whole... No, I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, we'd like to hear from some real people.
We'd love to know how you're doing. If you're working from home, or are you back in the office?
Yeah.
I'd really like to know. And what's the commuting like now? Is it quite quiet, isn't it?
And interestingly, the figures were released today on jobs. There are now a record 950,000 unfilled jobs in the UK.
Yeah. Hospitality we know about, but also, of course, the building industry, construction.
HGV drivers, that's been sending everybody into a spin.
Yeah, but construction, they're looking for bricklayers.
They're looking for
all the trades, the trades. And I did say to you, I think my mum has been waiting for a dishwasher now for 15 weeks.
Yeah.
And she wanted Bosch, I think she wanted, to replace her other one. It's a semi-integrated, which makes it more difficult, apparently. And I think it's about the chips, isn't it?
There's a shortage of microprocessors.
So she's having to plump for an Indesit, so I hope it's all right. But it's not coming for another couple of weeks.
Sure. No, there's most industries have shortages anyway. Hospitality is particularly badly hit. HGV drivers, 76,000 drivers short. But that's structural. That's completely structural. In 2013, there were 299,000 people in the UK employed in HGV driving. In 2020, there were 602,000. And there's still a 76,000 shortage because people are leaving the industry.
Mm.
And the reason they leave the industry is driving an HGV lorry is stressful.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Lonely at times.
And poorly paid because... Until recently, the average wage of an HGV driver was 14, 15 quid an hour.
Gosh.
Whereas everyone has left to go and drive for Amazon. You can drive a van.
What do they get an hour?
They get 13, 14 quid an hour. So for £1 an hour less, you've got no stress. You go home at night to see your kids. And, you know, everybody's, you know, and people don't understand this. You know, they've been blaming Brexit and all kinds of
stuff. Still not really a living wage, though, is it?
No, but the point is that if... Well, what's happened in order now, what's happened is because we've suffered so much, you know, there's supply shortages because of a shortage of HGV drivers.
Mm.
You're now looking at £20 to £22 an hour. And people like Tesco's are paying a £5,000 signing on bonus for an HGV driver.
Yeah, because they're desperate.
Because they're desperate for drivers. But what I'm saying is what led to the problem. The problem is... As a society, over the last 10 years, we've gone online, haven't we?
Yeah.
So now everything's delivered.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the biggest rise in jobs has been delivery drivers. Yeah. So all the HGV drivers have gone, well, sod this for a game of soldiers. I might as well drive a van for Amazon. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And that's exactly what they've done.
I think it is stressful. And if you think that they're often going abroad and they've got all the paperwork now, the added paperwork, they're away from their families, as you said. But also, they have to find loos, they've got to eat, you know. It's not pleasant, is it? And I often see them by the side of the road.
And you've got to stop every night. You've got a tachometer, you've got to stop. And on top of all of that, you have CPC. So
what's CPC?
It's a continuous retraining.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, every couple of years, you have to go through a retraining program to keep your license. And that costs money as well.
Well, the reason I was tardy this morning was that I was behind a Gist lorry. I think it's Dutch, G-I-S-T. I think it was Dutch. And he was lovely, but he was obviously trundling along at 30 miles an hour through all the country lanes. I have to say, some of his indicating skills were...
maybe lacking,
yeah, yeah, I wasn't quite sure. Maybe it was a Dutch way, I'm not sure. But yeah, lovely lorry drivers. We do love them, and they are getting a food. We've got a lot of... Where I live in Whitstable... On the seafront, we see all the big, you know, shippy things
tankers.
Going back. Yeah, from China a lot. We've got an app where we can tell where they're from.
Yeah, yeah.
And they go along. And what we did see when we were in Dorset on our camping holiday, which is all we can do now at the moment, it seems, we were at Chesil Beach area and we saw the big cruise liners who can't afford to, because they're not in use, holidays and all that. I know some are, but not many. So they were all docked out by Portland Island because it's cheaper than their proper docking.
Yeah.
And
Proper docking. I had a proper docking the other night.
With your doll.
Yeah. I had a chocolate doll and a proper docking.
Was it Paul Barbara?
Yeah, it was.
But I don't think, really, if you're a lorry driver, it's not very much money, is it, for all that stress?
No, exactly, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But also construction, don't forget them, because I tell you, I'm waiting probably
a year. What do you need now, a plumber now?
Well, no, my plumber's coming back off holiday. There's two of them, and one's a heating engineer and one's a plumber.
Yeah.
And they both go away together. And they've done my lovely Moroccan loo. You've seen that, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's lovely. You must come round in your fez, try it out.
Yeah.
So I've done a Moroccan-themed toilet.
As you would.
Well, because I'm not travelling, and I miss travelling. I used to travel a lot.
Instead of going away, she brought it in her home.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been trying to read this tweet for 10 minutes. Will you just shut up?
Yeah, okay. Who is it then? Yeah. Well, you've got me on a rant.
Oh, dear. Chips and Dinks.
Oh, we love them.
Yeah, they said it's Tuesday. Well, it was when they sent the tweet. It's probably Wednesday by now.
Or Thursday.
Yeah. It's Tuesday. It's Business Bunker, brightening our day with or without the sun. Vanilla Web and Jewel Sirkin, supporting small businesses. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate it. Well, thank you so much. That's lovely Bev and Tony from Chips and Dinks. They're working on a Mercedes today.
Oh, lovely. Can they work on mine?
Have you smashed it up again?
No, I'm smashed. There's a few scratches where I reverse into my drive.
Yeah, they
it's
can
that
do that.
Hydrangea bush that gets it every time.
Jumped out in front of you, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, my new husband booby traps the front drive because he moves chairs around.
Yeah, yeah.
And the swing seat. He moves it.
I've had a tweet from Kaz Macklin as well in Victor Chamber of Commerce, and she says, I'm really looking forward to listening to Laurie from Cognisys Global. He's a great speaker, really interesting guy, and I'm tuned in waiting to hear from him. Well, there you go. No pressure there then, Laurie.
Thank you. Thank you, Kaz.
Emma Tuffy has said, what a great lineup of guests on the show today. We have indeed, Emma, and we're really looking forward to them getting a word in edgeways.
We've got I don't know, an hour and a bit. I noticed that Zinat said we were on from 2 to 3.
Well, she probably only listens to the second half of the show, doesn't she?
I know.
She probably thinks, do you know what? If I waste an hour listening to Jules ranting at the start of the show,
I'm not
going to go anywhere. So if I tune in at 2 o'clock, she will have finished by then.
Well, she's only worried about the biscuits, I think, really.
Yeah, okay.
And how many there are. I have a little email to read. It's from Folkestone Place Plan, and we do love our seaside towns. The Folkestone Town Centre Place Plan is now open for consultation, and I'm going to read out the little email in a minute, so you can contact them if you wish, and there is a website, but it will go on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. There's a clue. Residents and businesses have a chance to comment on the actions and priorities in this document until the 20th of August. What's the date?
Today.
Yeah, I've completely lost track.
Oh, I can't remember.
I know. Is it Tuesday?
No.
Somebody should have it.
Well, the 20th of August is Friday, isn't it?
Okay, so Friday. Yeah. So you've only got a couple of days. They want feedback, and there is an email, and they'd like it by that, please. And so please, if you have ideas about the Folkestone Town Centre Place Plan, you can go to folkestone-hythe.gov.uk/Folkestone Place Plan, and the email is place.plan@folkestone-hythe.gov.uk. All details will be on Kent Business Radio website after the show. So I guess that's about changing Folkestone for the better.
Yeah, I mean, they've been working on Folkestone for a long time. They've had lots of different stuff going on, they've been looking at building a marina and all kinds of stuff. You've got a creative quarter. It's like, have you been to Folkestone recently?
Well,
there's some fantastic restaurants there as well.
It's a very foodie place. We're very, very lucky in Kent. But I took the Slopoffs there to the Grand, of course, when Robert Richardson was there. And we had a fabulous time with a piano player. So Slopoff Friday is a networking group that used to thrive pre-COVID.
Yeah.
The Grand. But somebody's told me that the Grand is at the moment housing immigrants or migrants that are coming over. I don't know how true that is. It's a lady I met in the week. So I will investigate that and let you know.
Cool. Well, do you know what?
Tunage?
It's cheesy tunage time.
Ha! Very good. I see what you did.
You see what I did there?
That's the whole of the moon.
It is the whole
of the moon. By someone. Water boys.
Water boys.
Very clever.
You saw the plans.
Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
The Hole of the Moon.
Good cheesy tunage.
How did I think of that?
Well, not just the song Cheesy Tunage, but also because we do know that the moon is made of cheddar.
It is, actually. Well, funny enough, Martin White, you remember him?
Yeah. I love him. Of course I remember him.
He sent me a picture of pina colada flavoured cheese this morning.
Ooh.
I have no idea why he did that.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
That sounds as nearly like my courgette smoothie this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Even more disastrous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my drinking buddy when we go to Slopoff.
Yeah.
He's always the last to leave along with me.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
We sometimes stay 2 or 3 days on that business lunch.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Depends where you are.
Do you know what, though? I want to talk to someone sensible.
I would love to.
It would be really nice to have someone sensible here to talk to. And luckily, we have got 2 sensible people, and we're going to hear from the first one of them. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Helen Leal Green. If I pronounce that right?
Yes, yeah.
Blimey. Helen Leal Green of the...
Moon.
Our Moon.
No, I know that. She's mooning. Our Moon Education, based in Tunbridge Wells. So, Helen, welcome to the show. Why don't we kick off by you telling us a little bit about Helen. Tell us a bit about you.
Okay. Thank you very much for welcoming me to this show. I'm very grateful to be here.
It's a pleasure.
So about me, so Our Moon Education is a charity that works in development work, but my background is completely different from that. So I'm an accountant. I worked for PwC for 15 years as a management consultant.
Ah, that's when I was looking at your Twitter account, and I always check the people that follow Twitter accounts, and they all work for PwC. And I thought, what's all this about? I just assumed that maybe they sponsored the charity or something like that.
No, I wish they did.
Yeah, come on, get your finger out. Sponsor the poor woman. She used to work for you.
But we did release a video 2 weeks ago, which was what all the Twitter stuff was. So I used to work for PwC, and at the time I had 3 young boys, and I just suddenly became a bit disillusioned with corporate life and wanted to do something different. And I was always passionate about education, and especially for those who didn't maybe have the same opportunities. And I had this idea from literature that I'd, or books that I'd read, that I liked international work, but I really didn't know very much else. And so I volunteered at a small charity not too far from where I was living, and became a trustee, and I was helping foreign students who came over to the UK to do a programme there to get access to university. And one of my students was Zambian, and he said, look, you know, you can make much more impact if you come to Zambia. So he invited me to Zambia. I went, I stayed with his family, shared a bed with his grandmother, like you do, and we put on some workshops and for teachers and students, and put together a program.
Right.
And that's really how Our Moon came about, and how I changed direction.
That's fantastic. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me how people rise to something, and. One of the things I really like about it, and it's the same with people starting businesses, I find, is quite often retrospectively, people that have started a business or started an organisation of some kind will kind of backfit it and say, oh, I had this global vision of doing something and then I assembled all the resources and delivered it. Whereas the reality is we kind of do something daft because we just had a thought about it, and before you know it, you're ending up doing something else. And that's kind of the journey that you went on there, isn't it?
There's a
whole series of, oh, that's interesting, let's do that. Oh, that's more interesting, let's do that. So when did this happen, Helen? When was your first trip to Zambia, and when did this epiphany happen that you needed to start a charity to work in Zambia?
So my first trip was only 6 years ago.
Right.
And so that was when we put on our first workshops 6 years ago. Justin, who was my student, was studying in Canada at that point on a full scholarship. And when he finished, he returned to Zambia, and he now runs everything in Zambia.
Excellent, brilliant.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's really lovely that he's still so involved.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so let's kind of move on now. So 6 years ago this happened. You've established the charity. You've got it up and running.
Mm.
And you're providing education services?
Yes, kind of. In Zambia, there's a 2-year gap between when a student finishes school and when they can go to university.
So we're talking 17, 18-year-olds?
Well, they finish at GCSE level,
right,
and there's nothing then for them at all.
Really?
Right.
So what do most of them do? Find a job? Or
there are no jobs, or very, very few jobs for
young,
for teenagers.
Mm.
There's virtually nothing. And so there's a lot of pressure on the girls to get married.
Mm. Yeah.
Others,
very young age.
Yeah, so others get pregnant. The boys, just so many people lose hope during that period.
Mm.
Even if they can get a place at the university, they don't know if they'll get a loan. If they get a loan, there are lots of other costs that their families can't afford.
Yeah.
They usually end up dropping out. So it's just a very sad time.
Such a waste.
So many lives.
Of all that energy and enthusiasm.
Mm. Mm. And these are, you know, really bright students who've usually had to really fight to stay in school in the first place from very poor families.
Right.
An idea of how poor they are, our average student's parents' salaries last year was about £35 a month to feed 8 people.
Right.
So really poor families.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't often realise that kind of thing in the West. It always makes me laugh when you see woke kids over here coming on about the wealthy without realising that every single person in the United Kingdom is in the top 10% of wealth in the world, even if they're on benefits. Because, you know, in parts of Africa, 35 quid is the norm.
Yeah. Apart from the tourism trade, what else? They've got copper, haven't
they,
in
copper,
Zambia?
Yes, it's the second largest copper producer in Africa.
Yeah.
So where does that money go? Government?
Some of it, well, to be honest, most of it gets shipped out of the country because the copper mines aren't necessarily owned by Zambia.
Mm.
They're mostly owned by the Chinese these days, aren't they, I think? So, okay, I want to concentrate on what it is you actually do, you know, to fill that gap between 15-year-olds, 15, 16-year-olds leaving school, and what do you do with them? How do you do it? What is the difference that you can make?
Yeah. So we run a program which focuses on developing their English and math skills.
Right. What's the native language in Zambia? I can't...
There are 73.
Yeah, loads of dialects.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
But most of them speak English.
Well, they will have learnt in school from the age of 10. They'll have learnt English. So I can't think what it is.
It's the official
language. It's the official language.
Yeah.
But yes, there are 73 different languages.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Which has its own problems because if people move around, which it's a very transitory sort of country, then they move to places and they can't speak the language. So we improve their English skills. So although they've been learning in English, often their teachers aren't brilliant at English themselves, but their vocabulary tends to be quite narrow. So even if they're good at English, it'll be narrow vocabulary. And their writing is still quite childlike. And they've got to be able to go into a university and write an academic paper. So we need to get them from this fairly childlike writing up to an academic paper standard.
Can I interrupt? I don't mean to, because it's an interesting story. the universities that you're trying to get them into, are they within Zambia, or are you trying to get them into universities in other places?
Right. So mostly overseas, because then they can have a full scholarship.
Right. Yeah.
And they have the opportunity then to have a world-class education.
Sure.
So we just had a student this week started at Cornell University, which is one of the Ivy Leagues in America.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
They've gone from living in a mud hut to Cornell University.
To much worse conditions. Yeah. Living in McDonald's. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It must be a huge cultural thing there. Yeah.
So that's part of the programme as well. It's preparing them for what life will be like there. Mm. And even then, he got there and he said, "You didn't tell me how large it would be, and it's so beautiful." Mm. I think imagine just one building.
Yeah. Okay, so I interrupted you. Sorry, Helen.
No, that's okay.
So you're helping with English.
Yes, and then maths. They're very good at maths. They've all got top grades in maths, but they've never done any practical applications of maths or statistics or anything. Mm. So we do project work on maths and some coding classes with them.
Can I ask, this is so fascinating, and there's so many facets to this, and we're going to run out of time just talking about this. Yeah. But so within your organisation, presumably you've got English teachers and maths teachers or people that are teaching. How does it work?
Yeah, so I do most of the English work with them, so I do that at the moment online.
Right.
Normally I would go over there three times a year and do intensive classes with them and then do the rest online, but this year obviously it's online. Yeah. And then we've got a maths teacher, Justin teaches and things like identity and culture and those sorts of classes, and helps to prepare them for life abroad. I do their university applications, and then we've got other teachers that help them with community service and mental health.
How do the families react to them going off to America or Canada or UK, because I know they're very, very close knit?
Well, one of the things that we need to educate them about is that we don't see it as a meal ticket for them to live abroad. Mm. And also, just because they're a student, just because they're in America, they're still a student. They don't have money to send back. Mm. So mostly their families are like, you know, rubbing their
hands thinking, this is
we're made now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very few of them would stop them going. Then we have got one student at the moment whose grandfather doesn't think that she should be given preferential treatment to the rest of the family.
And this is a cultural thing with girls, possibly?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very different for girls. Mm. Tell us about the girls that you've been helping, if you can think of one.
We've had... Janet, I was talking to her last night. She's studying civil engineering at Edinburgh University. And she describes herself as very nerdy, and she likes watching construction videos in her spare time. But
don't we all?
But she also sings beautifully and plays the guitar, and she does have some more normal interests. Mm. But she came from a relatively educated family, but then her father died, and the family was plunged into poverty, and she couldn't get any further with her education, and. There was some resistance to her being able to study abroad when the rest of her family hadn't, but ultimately her mother was supportive, and she's just a fascinating person. She's a Rhodes Scholar candidate, so she's applying for a Rhodes Scholarship to study at Oxford, do a PhD there next. But she's very interested in buildings and how new infrastructure in Africa can be built on a much better plane than previous buildings.
I mean, this is the long-term benefit, isn't it? If these young people can go away, learn skills and gain some experience, and then take it back to Zambia and improve things in Zambia, that's the thing that makes all of this kind of work and so worthwhile, if you can do that, isn't it?
Yes. And I think it's very easy for people to say, well, why Zambia, why Africa, why does it matter? But I think that there is a knock-on effect whenever you have, whatever happens in one part of the world does have a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
And COVID has shown us that.
Yeah.
So that's really why I feel so passionate about helping.
A young population as well.
Very young population.
Absolutely. Sub-Saharan Africa has a population of 1.2 billion people.
Mm.
And, you know, in the world, you know, they're markets. They're markets, both way markets. You know, things happen in Africa. Africa has a lot of resources.
Yeah.
Like Jules, I spent a lot of time in Botswana, and Botswana's stuffed with diamond mines and gold mines and stuff like that. It's one of the wealthiest countries in Africa. It's actually quite an advanced country
it
as
is.
Well
right.
compared to the countries around it. But that just shows you what's possible with good governance and education of the population.
Well, as my new husband wrote in his book, Top 10 Emerging Markets of Tomorrow, that's by Gavin Serkin.
Neat little plug there, see what she did there? Yeah.
But Nigeria in 20 years will overtake US and all this. It's going to be, you know, the one we need to watch.
I've got some questions about. You're spending time finding students. How do you find the students to work with, or do they find you? And then also, how do they get funding for going to these universities? And presumably, what you're doing is applying to Western universities that have scholarship programs.
Absolutely, yeah. So the funding comes generally through the universities.
Right.
MasterCard Foundation, so part of the credit card company, has also provided quite a lot of scholarships for sub-Saharan African students and has some really strong programs in Africa.
Right.
But yes, most of it comes from the universities.
Right.
And so they only apply to universities where they know that there is the chance of funding. Otherwise, it's completely pointless.
And is that something that you as a charity get involved in? Do you talk to the universities and go, look, we got some students in Zambia. Would
Absolutely.
You like some?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And one of the lovely things about Zoom is that we've been able to bring the universities to our students sitting in our rural community in Zambia. And they've been able to have meetings with Stanford.
Right.
And in a way that it would have been possible before.
Sure. Absolutely. And that's beautiful. And it's fantastic. Where do you see it going? What's the plan? Where are you heading with this?
Well, we have our site and we started building, and so we've got accommodation for the students. We've got.
And where are you doing this? In Zambia?
This is in Zambia, in central province and centre of Zambia. It's about 2 hours north of the capital city. Mm. We've got some facilities, but very basic, very, very basic facilities, but a bit grander than a campsite, but not much.
So would they stay there?
So they stay
residential.
There. Yeah, so they stay there for 12 months. What we haven't got are any classrooms yet. So we've got plans to build a classroom block once we can get funding for that. So that's
you've got your civil engineer already, haven't you, with Janet? Get her back.
So the idea here is you're building an education centre,
yes,
so that you can do this English and maths stuff to move them from one to the other.
Yes.
Do you ever see that blossoming into a college of some kind where you could actually put local people through a college?
Good idea.
If they can't go off to university, they could actually do a bit more locally.
Right. So what we do, even now, what we do is all the people who work for us, their children are either out of school or in one of the local schools which only do 3 hours of school a day.
Right.
And so we provide them with a tutor, and they tutor them in English and maths, and so do our students. So our students are obliged in our programme to do this community service. And so that's one way. Once we've got the new buildings, we will have a computer room, and we hope then to make the computers available to people locally, not as an internet cafe, but as a way to as a place where they can learn, and initially just to learn to type, I guess, but to do coding classes for some of the more interested young people locally, and hopefully give them some skills.
Right. I can see where you're going with this, and the passion that you have for it is beyond belief, and you're making such a difference. And it's really important that we do this. You know, I mean, I'm a great believer in people helping people to, you know, do stuff.
Mm.
If you rely on governments all the time, I'm not even going to go there, but, you know, if we've seen what's happened in the last few days with the clever things that government do, relying on governments to do things is not a good way of getting anything to happen in reality. So I love what you're doing, Helen. And I'm going to ask you to come back later on in the year or maybe next year.
Oh,
and give us an update on where you've got to and how you've got on with building your education centre there. But for the moment, give us a shout out for your charity, so how people can find out your website.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so the charity is www.ourmoon.org.uk.
Fantastic.
And we have a ball coming up on the 2nd of October.
Right.
And we're selling tickets now. You can find the link on our website.
Okay.
You have to dig a bit, but it's under how you can support us and then events.
Right. Well, what we'll do with that is I will find it and I will put it on this show webpage and then we'll tweet it out so everyone knows where it is.
Mm. Okay. And that's at the Spa Hotel in Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
And then, yes, and just people support us in so many ways. So a number of Kent businesses have supported us. I'm a member of Network B2B, which is a networking group who've provided a lot of support. And then other companies have provided raffle prizes and things like that, like Blooming Green Flowers, Owlet Fruit Juices, Wooden Spoon, those sort of small to medium-sized companies in Kent.
Fantastic.
I wanted to ask one last question. How are your boys with you doing all this, and how old are they now?
Oh, my boys are 25, 26 and 28.
Similar ages to my three.
They have grown up.
And have they been out to Zambia with you?
No.
Are they wanting
to? They all plan to, but they haven't yet. But, yeah, it's a work in progress.
Cool.
Brilliant.
Their girlfriends are good at twisting their arms as well to come. So I think they'll be out there in the next few years.
Fantastic. Helen, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And we wish you continued success with the charity and the work that you're doing. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's
a pleasure.
Nice chatting.
I'm going to do the FSB news roundup uninterrupted.
Yeah, I won't interrupt you.
She always interrupts.
Only for something of interest.
If you want, you could read one tweet or one small email. I'll allow you that.
Well, Twitter has gone very, very busy.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, sorry, my timeline is very full at the moment with other stuff. So I think I'll read
an email
so that I'm prepared.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll read the tweet and then you read the email.
Faversham Brewer, Shepherd Neame, has won double gold at a national award scheme. So the firm picked up the achievements at the 2021 British Bottlers Institute competition, which recognises the best in bottling and packaging industry. It's Bear Island East Coast Pale Ale, launched in 2017, has picked up a gold in the ales category, while its Bear Island Triple Hopped Lager collected gold in the lager category. Whitstable Bay Blonde has received a Diploma of Excellence in the same category. So that's Shep Neame, well done. The Whitstable Bay Blonde is a favourite, actually, in my household.
Fantastic.
So well done, guys.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
This week's FSB News, I've got a number of events that are taking place. I'll describe all of the events and then at the end I'll give you the link so that you can find out more and book your place. Perspectives, how to increase your resilience, taking place Tuesday the 24th of August, 12 noon to 1 p.m. The FSB's Perspectives is a series of events designed to help you build a resilient and successful business. For our first event, we welcome Jigna Varu, Chief Commercial Officer at award-winning business Microfresh and CEO of Homefresh. Join us for an insightful hour where Jigna will share her knowledge, experience, strategies and tips for growing a successful business in a tough climate. On Thursday the 26th of August, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m, Exercise in a Box, Working Remotely. Cyber attacks can stop your small business in its tracks. Even sole traders and micro businesses can be a target. So whether you're self-employed or running a team, there are steps you can take now to protect your business. The FSB have teamed up with Converge Communication Solutions and the Scottish Business Resilience Centre to offer the first in a mini-series of cyber support events. And in our first session, we'll be looking at the problems of working from home or working remotely with security. So that's Thursday the 26th of August. Then on Wednesday, the 1st of September, Creating a High Performance Team. It's a webinar that explores the definition of a high performing team and the practical steps you can take as a leader or business owner to transition your existing team into a high performing group. Wednesday, the 1st of September, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then on Wednesday, the 8th of September, 1 till 2, would you like to launch an Amazon business and don't know where to start? Whether about to start selling on Amazon or planning for future growth, Amazon remains one of the quickest routes to market for any business. This webinar will give you the tools to prepare your business for selling on Amazon and what to expect in order to grow profitably by using the platform. On Thursday, the 9th of September, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., property and construction event, Getting Two Types of Funding. Peter Searle is hosting a four-part series of events on behalf of the Kent and Medway FSB entitled How to Get into the Property Sector. At this event, we'll focus on securing two types of funding. Alex Millam from ASC will discuss what investors are looking for in a project funding application, and Robert Edge from iConstruct will advise on grant funding for developers, contractors and subcontractors. On Wednesday, the 22nd of September, there's a Maidstone Virtual Networking. Peter Searle, again, is hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with the Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed and networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. That's Wednesday, the 22nd of September. And then on Thursday, the 30th of September, there's a Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. I missed this one. So Tuesday, the 7th of September, 11 till midday, Getting Started with Analytics. The FSB has teamed up with Google Digital Garage, and we're pleased to be partnering to provide a free live webinar. The Google Digital Garage provides free online and live webinar digital skills training to individuals and businesses in the UK to help people find a job, grow their skills, grow their careers, or to build a business from home. That's Tuesday, the 7th of September at 11 a.m. Oh, I missed one. There's Thursday, the 9th of September, a Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And what about this? There's an optional after party. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. And this event is hosted by Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings.
A regular on Business Bunker.
Yeah.
Is Sue.
Yeah. And there's a Good Food Growth Kent. There's a virtual Meet the Buyer event on the 9th of September. There are a few spaces left for buyers looking to grow their local food and drink supply chain as the interest in local food, traceability and provenance continues and consumers continue to redefine their relationship with food and drink. This is your opportunity to meet suppliers from across the southeast. This has been done in conjunction with the FSB and Producing Kent. If you'd like to know more information about it, you have to drop an email to Jill Sargent. That's Jill with a J, dot S-A-R-G-E-N-T, at producingkent.co.uk. I think I've covered everything there. The link to find out more about all of those events that I've just told you about is kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. And that is the FSB news for this week.
Read very admirably.
Really?
Yeah. A department store with a difference is set to launch at a former Debenhams next month as part of a £2.5 million project. The huge sum is being invested in the site by the new retailer, 15 to 17, which will be eventually operate on four floors of the empty high street building in Canterbury. The first two floors will open in September, while bosses are also in discussions with an escape room operator and looking to bring activities such as crazy golf, darts, and even axe throwing. Axe throwing.
Yeah.
You need that with your Mexican squirrels.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'll throw axes at you.
Yeah. crazy golf, small me, at darts. They say the mix of retail and entertainment will provide a vibrant and fun shopping experience in Canterbury. It will be the first location in Kent for 1517, which operates the Fresh Local and Wild brand. The Fresh Local and Wild brand focuses on local produce and is complemented by a cafe, as well as an artisan food hall on the ground floor. There will also be numerous familiar concessions covering beauty, fashion and homeware on the upper floors. Very interesting. Last time I visited Canterbury, which was about a week ago, I believe, we know about the parking and how expensive it is, but it was very dismal, actually, because it was a lovely sunny day. I was going for acupuncture for my head, AstraZeneca damage. But it was a sunny day, and there were a lot of homeless sleeping in doorways. Lots. There was a guy that looked like he was absolutely in a coma. It was really, really distressing. And a lot of shops boarded up and closed.
Yeah.
To be honest, for me as a local, there's not a lot that Canterbury offers me now.
Yeah.
You know, I've lost my lovely monsoon and sort of rummaging little indie shops that I used to like. So let's hope that that perks it up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, they're going to start work on the old Nathan site soon.
I think it'll be, well, they're going to have flats there as well, a few residential.
Yeah, ground floor is a shopping mall, and then upstairs is offices, and then the top floor is flats.
We've lost a lot of shops, and there was a really nice little card shop I used to go to that had gifts and cards just on the corner of Hotel Chocolat. Down there, about three down, and that's gone. And I used to go in there and get really nice gifts and cards, and, you know, a little bit unusual than the chains.
Sad. The pandemic put the finishing touches to an awful lot of businesses that were struggling anyway. And Canterbury's never been a cheap place to do business, as I know to my own expense.
Yeah, what's your last parking charge?
Oh, yeah, £18 it cost me to park to go to work. £18.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I have to go in Castle Multi-Story, which is open at the moment.
Oh, is it? Are they opening just for you?
Yeah, just for me. And when I see my acupuncturist, lovely Pippa. But it's not very friendly for women,
it's
a multi-story.
Nice. It's not nice.
It's sort of get that whiff of urine, always. Yeah. What is that in car parks?
Well, what you just
a
said.
A whiff of urine. Why would anybody... I don't know. I don't get that. But we've got Phoenix. It'll be interesting to see how Phoenix adapt, won't it? Because if Debenhams do this kind of thing, the ex-Debenhams, then they'll have to up their game, won't they?
Yeah.
Possibly.
You never know. I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens, Karen Kent. She says, I'd love a shout out on Business Bunker, please. She said, if you love helping others, ever thought about becoming a carer? If you said yes, then you could be the one we're looking for. We'd look forward to hearing from you. They cover Ashford and Folkestone. So if you're in the Ashford and Folkestone area and are thinking about a career in care, you can give Kim a call. And you can call her on Ashford 01233 619530. That's Ashford 01233 619530. Or you can follow her on the Twitter. Care in Kent is her Twitter handle.
And plans for a new luxury glamping site with a heated swimming pool and petting zoo have been... I'd like to go to a petting zoo to be petted, really, on the head.
I'm not even going to get involved in that conversation.
Fifield Lodge.
When I was a kid...
Petting was heavy petting that you did in the swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say there were signs up at the swimming pool saying no petting.
No heavy petting, it was called.
Oh, was it? Oh,
in Essex, it was called heavy petting.
I lived in Middlesex at the time, and we weren't quite as bad as you lot. Yeah. We just had no petting.
Well, you never got in the back of somebody's four Cortina in Essex at my age, when I was young. But this is at the Fifield Lodge in School Lane, Borden, near Sittingbourne, and they want to offer the best glamping experience in the county. It has added four new pods, including proposals for 6, 4 and 2 bed pods made out of timber to its site, which also has existing accommodation known as the Alpaca Lodge. Alongside the bed, each pod will have a recycling, a cycle store, shower and toilet, and a communal kitchen block with a small area decking out front. Found just off the A249 in Sittingbourne and close to the Isle of Sheppey and Raynham, the proposed glamping site is being billed as perfect for couples, families and friends wanting short breaks and weekends away. How lovely. Of course, glamping is the new thing, isn't it, with COVID?
Absolutely.
How COVID has changed our holidays is quite amazing.
And talking of alpacas, my Lucy and Amanda went alpaca walking at Kenwood Trust.
Oh, right, lovely.
Week. I had a fantastic time. It's really brilliant. Yeah.
I was reading about that one that had TB that they're trying to save. I think that was an alpaca, or was it a llama or something? He's got TB.
It was a llama, yeah.
And they're trying to put him to sleep, aren't they? And there's this huge demonstrations about it.
Yeah. See, if only he'd had a TB vaccine passport or something.
Exactly. He has got a very cute face, I have to say.
Athelbrey have tweeted, thanks to everyone who completed the poll on exams and options for future assessment. Results are out next week, but you can still vote via the Athelbrey LinkedIn page. Thanks to Business Bunker for promoting this, and have a great show. So thank you. That's lovely, folks. Athelbrey, if you want to find out about that, it's Athelbrey at their LinkedIn page. Athelbrae is the name of their company, Athelbrey Limited.
And a wildlife park, talking about alpacas and things, in Kent, has been named one of the best family-friendly eco-attractions in the UK. And that's the Wildwood Trust, based in Herne, near Canterbury. It came third nationwide in a survey carried out by uswitch.com. And it's scoured more than 34,000 four- and five-star reviews on TripAdvisor for eco-friendly attractions. And it's compiled its own top six. So the six categories were used to produce the top sites: enjoyability, family, compatibility, food availability, affordability, conservation, and eco-friendly components and cleanliness. So well done, guys. The Wildwood Trust, based in Herne.
IFF Kitchen has tweeted, could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? You know what we do. I do know what you do. They deliver very, very nice meals that you pick from a menu, and then they regularly deliver very healthy meals.
Mm, you've partaken quite a few.
I have partaken quite a few, and that is not the reason that I am overweight.
No, they're very healthy, aren't they? Freshly prepared.
They are incredibly healthy and very, very tasty. So give them a follow on Twitter, IFF Kitchen. But now is the time to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we come back from the news, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. So do stay with us. But for the moment, let's head over to the Channel Radio newsroom.
See what's happening.
Yeah.
This is...